All right, it's 1:30. I'd like to call to order the Greater Austin Area Telecommunications Network meeting of the Board of Directors for March 7th, 2023. Agenda item number one is a roll call.
I'm Sarah Eichelberger, and I'll call the roll. We've got Dane Herbat, Travis County.
Present.
Sid Falk, Bickerstaff Heath, Delgado Acosta.
Present.
Frank Ammons, Gatton.
Present.
Leslie Connolly, City of Austin.
Present.
Carlos DeMatos, Gatton.
Present.
We've got Gary Wiesman, Austin Community College.
Present.
Jaime Guerra, UT.
Present.
John Greiner, Austin ISD.
Present.
Robert Sadler, LCRA.
Present.
Steve Pyle, State of Texas DIR.
Present.
And then members of the public we have joining us, we have Marco Espedicueta from Austin Energy.
Present.
We have Doug Wilson from JC Communications.
Present.
And Chris Gonzalez from Bricom.
Present.
We've established a quorum.
All right. Thank you, Sarah. Agenda item number one is citizen communications. Do we have anything today?
No, sir.
No, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. Moving on, agenda item number three, review and approve the minutes from the board meeting of February 7th, 2023 in your packet.
This is Gary Wiesman. Motion to approve the minutes as submitted.
This is Steve. I second.
So we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes as presented. Is there any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, let's put it to a vote.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Gary Wiesman.
Aye.
Leslie Connolly.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
Robert Sadler.
Aye.
And John Greiner.
Aye.
The minutes are approved.
Okay, thank you. Agenda item number four, consent agenda items from the tech committee. 4A is seeking approval for the placement of 8 new Gatton poles on San Antonio to be funded by the FY23 Gatton MAC budget.
Go ahead, Jaime.
I was in a motion, but if you had anything to add.
No, I just was going to say not to exceed $33,000 in the proposals in the handouts.
Very good.
So this is Jaime. I'd make a motion to approve the consent agenda items from the technical subcommittee meeting.
This is Gary Weisman, second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda items in item number 4. Is there any further discussion? Okay, hearing none. Management, can you please lead us through a vote?
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Gary Weisman.
Aye.
Leslie Connolly.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
Robert Sadler.
Aye.
And John Greiner.
Aye.
The motion passes.
Moving on in the agenda to item 5, board chairperson update. 5A, seeking approval for the Gatton FY23 budget line item adjustments.
Yes, so every year around this time, management typically requests adjustments to any budget line items to ensure there's enough money in the vendor's POs for the remainder of the current fiscal year. This year, management is requesting to transfer $850,000 from the Gatton fund balance to supplement the MAC labor by $600,000, the MAC cable by $175,000, and insurance by $25,000, and the locate and notification budget by $50,000. Please note that a fund balance transfer of up to $1,053,709 was already previously approved by the board on July 12th, and that was to fund carried over projects from previous fiscal years. This transfer request is within and not in addition to that already approved transfer from July 12th. You know, so we got that approved at the beginning of the fiscal year because we are carrying over projects. We have to approve paying out those projects in each fiscal year. But now that we're getting closer to the end of the fiscal year, we're able to project as closely as possible what's going to be paid out by the end of this fiscal year. So instead of that 1 million plus that was approved in July, we only need $850,000 to be transferred. Any funds not expended from this transfer will go back into the fund balance at the end of the fiscal year. The increase in the MAC labor and fiber line items are based on projected expenditures from the awarded projects, plus some extra for unexpected repairs that may come up before June 30th. The increase in the insurance line item is due to the possibility of Gatton needing to procure railroad liability insurance for the Cap Metro agreement. The increase for the locate notification line item is based on the average of the first 7 months of the FY23 invoices. And also included in this handout is the FY24 budget. You'll see it there in the far right column. So members can see how the amounts compare to the adjustments requested. So you can see we're requesting to increase the insurance budget to $100,000. And in FY24, we already have $100,000 approved for the insurance budget. Management requests approval for AISD to transfer $850,000 from the Gatton fund balance and to increase the budget line items and adjust the purchase orders as presented in this handout.
Carlos, would you mind putting that spreadsheet back up?
And Sarah, I got a question. This is Jaime. Does this fund transfer kind of stay in line with the projected spends that you had forecasted for Gatton?
Yes. You know, at this, we asked the vendors to let us know how much they anticipate invoicing for their awarded jobs. And this is in line with less than we had actually projected to spend this year.
Right. But you had provided, I want to say, like a 5-year projection of our fund balance going down as we complete our previously approved projects. Okay.
Exactly.
Got it.
So when you were talking about the 24 budget, nothing has changed in what was approved, right?
No, that's correct. This is just showing you for comparison.
Okay.
And you'll recall we increased the FY24 budget by $500,000 over the FY23 budget.
Are there any other questions for Sarah?
All right, this is Jaime. I'd like to make a motion that we approve the Gatton Fiscal Year 23 budget line item adjustments as presented and fund balance transfer.
This is John Griner. I second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for item 5A. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, management, can you please lead us through a vote?
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Gary Wiesman.
Aye.
Leslie Connolly.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
Robert Sadler.
Aye.
And John Griner.
Aye.
The motion passes.
All right, thank you very much. Item number 5B, Subcommittee for Policy for New Future Gatton Participants.
Hello, everybody. Yes, this is Frank. So in the last two board meetings and tech meetings, we've been discussing the possibility of adding a new Gatton member, what that would take and entail, as we've been approached by a third party recently. And at the last tech meeting, it was recommended that a board subcommittee be formed to come up with a policy or a formula for new member admission, and that's why this agenda is here to request volunteers for such a subcommittee. Basically, in a nutshell, that if somebody's wanting, a third party's wanting to join Gatton, what would that take? What kind of policy or should we create for such? As you may recall, we've gone over the UFAP pricing, and from those meetings, it's been stated that Gatton should keep the existing UFAP policy as is for current members, but should come up with an equitable formula for the new members, for a new member to join Gatton anytime in the future.
Okay, are you looking for, how many volunteers are you looking for, and are there any specific skills or types of experience in the people that you're looking for?
You know, so this comes from the tech committee. Jaime, I don't know if you want to speak to that, but, you know, I'm thinking a minimum of three. I think three would be a great number. And skill set wise, I think it would be somebody with the history of Gatton and the UFAP, and hopefully possibly somebody that's even actually made acquisition through the UFAP previously. I don't think that's a necessity, but I think the UFAP experience would be of great benefit.
So given that being said, I did help draft the UFAP and have purchased a lot of strands, so I'd be happy to help out with the subcommittee. I don't think I necessarily want to lead it because I'm hesitant to put a lot of strict guidance on what requirements are needed for someone to join, because I think it may be more of a case-by-case basis. But all that to say, I'd be happy to participate in the subcommittee.
Frank, this is Gary. I can participate also, if you want me.
Yes, sir. That's two. We just need one more. You know, from what the tech committee had recommended previously, I just see this as more as, and I could be completely wrong, but you know, we discussed this in pretty good detail in the tech committee, and you know, one version being, hey, this is, you know, the bottom line cost if you're going to join. You know, we're going to look at how much the network is worth and what all has been put into it, et cetera, from existing members. And then on the other side of that coin, we're going to be looking at UFAP pricing. Because third parties do have an opportunity to approach Gatton to become a member, or do have, or they have an opportunity to approach Gatton entities. You know, so I think we should cover at least the Gatton portion as Gatton. So we just need one more volunteer here. We have a subcommittee.
This is Steve. I'll do it, Frank.
Thank you, Steve. I'll be joining you gentlemen and facilitating such meetings. I'm working with a third party right now, and I'm keeping them in the loop. So once we get the good news about this is, once we get this established and get some kind of guidance establishers policy or formula, then I can let that third party, I can give the answers to the questions they're asking about joining Gatton. So I think we'll be able to get this completed pretty soon, and I'll facilitate it and be in contact with everyone.
Okay. Frank, this is Sid. With your permission and those of the committee members and Dane's, I'd like to be an ex officio member, because I think you're going to have some potential legal questions to be sure you're okay on, given the terms of the interlocal and so on.
Okay, Sid. So noted. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you to Jaime, Gary, and Steve, and also Sid for volunteering for that. Is there any further discussion on this item? All right, hearing none. 5C, Capital Metro License Agreement.
This is Frank. Sid, do you want to go into this one, or I'm thinking this one is not for executive session. I think you had said that previously in review of the agenda.
Don't think there's any legal question that we need to discuss. If I understand right, you've been trying to get hold of Shannon Gray and set up a meeting and have had no success with that. And just to remind the members, sort of a tortured history in getting this second recent crossing license with them. They introduced a very different license than the one we had a year or 2 years ago when we did the crossing license for the county's project. They put a bunch of new stuff in, and I spent a bunch of time going back and forth with Shannon Gray, who's the head of their right-of-way department, or whatever it's called, but that's what he does. And he had one of their legal folks review things and agree to a certain number of changes and not to others, which was basically okay, and leave some open questions for Shannon to agree or not agree to. And he and I had a long phone call and dealt with that. And then he sent it off to legal for final whatever. And it came back reviewed by another attorney, I think, and who had reinserted all of the changes that we had agreed to, changed them back, and included a railroad insurance protection policy requirement. We looked into that. Frank and Sarah looked into that, and it turns out to be fairly expensive. It is site-specific, project-specific. The beneficiary of those policies is the railroad, which would be Capital Metro in this case, although it does cover liability insurance effectively during the project for any employees we have, which we don't, and also our contractors. So it's a one-off in that sense. But it is, as I say, site-specific. So going forward, this would mean every time we cross, we get another one of these policies and have to maintain it in force during the duration of the license, the crossing. And it's at this point about $4,000 or $4,500 a year for this. Sarah did a lot of legwork with our brokers to figure out what this was, how it worked, what it covered, and to get a couple of estimates. It will be expensive, a pain in the butt, and it's a sea change in terms of what they have previously required us. And then the open elephant in the room question, as Frank has pointed out, is whether under our existing crossings that don't have these requirements, we're going to find that they spring this on us. So the impetus to try to meet with Shannon and maybe somebody at an upper level and get to try to get a little bit of relief and maybe some understanding on their part what Gatton's really about and that we do governmental things is in the offing, and that's what this is about.
So just to Dane, Hyman, Sid, because we held the meeting together, I'm following up the action items from that meeting, and just to let everybody know, I'm going to contact Shannon Gray with Cap Metro one more time today via phone, And if I can't make contact with Shannon, I emailed him yesterday that I'm going to escalate it. And I'm going to escalate it to an executive with Cap Metro. And I think that's unfortunate. I'd hate to go over anybody's head or step on anybody's toes, but I've been trying to contact Shannon about this since February 21st. And as everybody knows, especially for UT, this is a hot potato, high priority project. And we do have, just to note too, we do have, carry such insurance for different railroads, Union Pacific, for example. And this is not a requirement of us, because as mentioned, we don't have employees, but it's a requirement of our contractors when they work in the right of way. And I believe that's really what this is all about. And simply, I think, and I could be 100% wrong, but I think an attorney made a mistake and it doesn't know who Gatton is and put this into this agreement as if we were a CLEC with employees working within the right of way.
And another twist on that same point is that because this insurance inherently is not only site specific, but apparently project specific, the requirement that the other attorney put in that we maintain this insurance during the duration doesn't really make sense, because it is geared to the construction and installation phase and not the sitting around afterwards phase. So I'm not sure whether that's a mistake on their part. That's one of the things we'd want to get clarification on.
That's it. Exactly. So upward and onward on this one, Dane, at the board, I should have more information for you as we progress on this. As soon as I make contact with Cap Metro, I'll get that meeting set up with Dane, Jaime, and myself, and move forward.
Yeah, that sounds great. Jaime, I'm sorry we're stuck in this situation, but we'll see what
Understood.
We can do to get a result. And,
yeah. I recognize this is a change, and I don't want to start a precedent here that's not desirable by the organization.
All right. Any further discussion on 5C? All right. 5D, we're going to go to executive session to discuss that. So let's go ahead and jump to 5E before we do that and talk about the property damage claim against J.D. Abrams and Lone Star Paving. Do we have any update?
Very small update. All of the defendants have been served. Remember last time I think I told you we were having difficulty serving the actual bottom of the heap subcontractor, whose name I think is Casales or something like that. He has been served by alternative methods, and in fact has filed what's called an answer, which is the pleading that you file in response to the filing of the lawsuit. So all the defendants have answered, and interestingly, Lone Star, which is second in the lineup of subcontractors, has got a motion to add a third party. It's called an impleader that they claim may share some liability. Apparently, between Lone Star and Cavalis or Casales, whatever the guy's name is, there is another intervening subcontractor, and they're going to join them, so it's a party. So that's what's going on. I assume the court will let them do that. And at that point, everybody will have, quote, made an appearance by way of answer, and we will see some mandatory disclosures from the defendants. We've already filed ours. The rules of procedure say you got to provide a certain minimum of information, like who the parties are, what their interests are, any persons that are employees or contractors and so on for each party that may have relevant knowledge. You've got to identify the potential witnesses, that sort of stuff. That will be going on, and then somewhere down the road there are going to be inevitably written discovery, but also some depositions, and we will of course want to depose the actual subcontractor that was out there doing stuff, and my guess is one or more of the other defendants are going to want to depose somebody from us, which probably means you, Frank. Gunnar will get with you when we know all of that. So that's where we are.
All right, any questions on that? Okay, thanks, Sid. Hearing none, we'll move on to agenda item 5D. We're going to go to executive session under Texas Government Code 551.071 to discuss this. The time is 1:56 p.m., and we'll see you on the other call. Okay, we discussed item number 5E in executive session. There's no action to be taken by the board at this time. Moving on in the agenda, item number 6, network managers update.
I believe we need to do an updated roll call.
Yep, thanks, Sarah. Item number 8, updated roll call.
Okay, Frank Ammons.
Present.
Anthony Breckenridge. Leslie Connolly.
Present.
Oh, there you go.
Present.
Dane Herbat.
Present.
Carlos DeMatos.
Present.
Gary Wiesman.
Present.
Jaime Guerra. Jaime.
Present.
John Greiner.
Present.
Robert Sattler.
Present.
And Steve Pyle.
Present.
We've got everybody back.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Let's go ahead and move to item number 6, network managers update.
Yes, so for 6A, Carlos, if you'll please go to that handout. I think it's something's wonky there. We've got a typo as far as 6B and 6B, but for 6A, we've got the project status report. Updates I've got to give to the board is I'm happy to announce that segment 7 of A1N, of the A1N projects, as far as the active projects are concerned, that's what I'm speaking to. Segment 7 of the A1N project, the construction is complete and the splicing and testing has been scheduled. You should have received it. You all should have received an email about that earlier today, notification, the 2-week notification about the splicing of this that's to take place. And also, segment 8 is now 100% approved by Austin Energy with the make ready, which is 100% complete. And we're underneath the permitting phase with the City of Austin and TxDOT right away. I anticipate this project to begin in either mid-April or mid-May, somewhere in between those two. So that's really good news for both those segments, and it takes care of two of those upgrade projects for one of our contractors as their remaining projects related to it. For getting completed projects, Carlos, you'll go to that page, please, sir. The only ones there are to report at this time that haven't been previously reported are the B2 South MET-2/3 spur replacement phase 2 has been completed, and the A2N repair, which affected DIR, the repair at those cases of A2N 18 and Super Ring North case 26 is now complete. And then for getting future projects, we'll have the placement of the 8 Gatton poles, which will move up into active projects. And that concludes the updates for the project. Your staff reports. Are there any questions? Okay. Hearing none, Sarah, do you want to take the next one, please?
Yes. For the job budget, we're tracking 45 jobs totaling $3.4 million. So far for FY23, we've been invoiced $342,000, so we have $3 million encumbered. And new for this report is the, right there highlighted in yellow, the pole replacements on San Antonio Street that were just approved earlier in the meeting. And please let me know if you have any questions.
Frank, I realize that this is probably in the previous agenda item, but A1N, I see we still have three that are on right-of-way permit. What do you anticipate being the completion of that ring?
Let me take a look at that report here real quick. I just closed it out. Sorry about that.
That's fine.
Yeah, no worries. No worries at all.
The question didn't gel until we'd already moved on.
Yeah, I get it. Are you asking for the remaining segments of A1N, what I anticipate for the completion of them?
Yeah, just in general, and you know, doesn't have to be that specific. Are we 12 months out, 18 months out? What do you think?
Yeah, I think, okay, so I'm really excited to see JC.
We're not able to take advantage of the additional strands until the entire ring is complete, right? So that's kind of just why I'm looking for an idea.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I would say 12 months, within 12 months, just based off what we've recently had approved by Austin Energy. And as we previously reported, the communication and our meetings and everything that the chairs have been involved with Austin Energy and executive management of the city of Austin, to include CTM and Austin Energy, and also to have Austin Energy in our Gatton meetings, has greatly increased the productivity out in the field and the approval of our project. So in a nutshell, I would say I'm happy that JC Communications is completely done with their projects for A1N after these two are complete. They're one project away from being done. So we've got to get with Bricom and, you know, just shore up anything else that they have remaining. A lot of it is make-ready work that's taking place right now, which is the final stage. So I anticipate us seeing that make-ready work being completed and then them being able to actually place fiber as well. So I would say, Dane, in a nutshell, within March of 2024, vast majority, I anticipate these projects being completed, and certainly hope so.
All right.
Yep. Yes, sir. All right.
Those were agenda items 6A and 6B. Let's go ahead and move on to 6C.
Yes, this is just an update on Gatton's RFPs and RFQs. We currently have three RFPs and RFQs that are issued right now to the public. All three of them close on Tuesday, March 21st, so exactly 2 weeks from today. That is our Gatton Moves, Adds, and Changes RFP, our Gatton Bentley Management RFP, and our Gatton Legal Services RFQ. The Bentley and Management and Legal Services was issued on January 24th, and the Moves, Ads, and Changes was issued on February 7th. We did hold a pre-proposal conference for the MAC RFP, and so we are looking forward to receiving submissions. All of the evaluation subcommittees have been formed. And to all of those who are participating on an evaluation subcommittee, please let me know if you have not received your bonfire email from AISD. That's going to get you set up to evaluate those submissions. So we are looking at the evaluation process starting at the end of March. Hopefully, we will be able to bring the Bentley and the MAC recommendations to the April Tech Committee and then all three of them to the May board meeting for approval. That's all I have about those. Please let me know if you have any questions.
Sarah, I don't think I got a bonfire email. I got the email about that you sent saying I should be receiving one, but I didn't see one from bonfire.
Thank you. I will follow up.
I don't believe I did either.
Thank you. I'll follow up on yours as well.
I did receive it.
Thank you, Steve.
I did find it. I will let y'all know that it was in my junk is where I found it.
Okay.
That could be the case for me.
And I'll ask them to resend that.
Any further discussion on item 6A, B, or C? All right, hearing none, moving on to agenda item number 9, discussion of possible action regarding the financial report.
Oh, that's me again. Okay, so the report you have in your packet is for the month ending January 31st. As of January 31st, we had received $1.149 million in revenue, expended $1.16 million, and so that left us with an ending fund balance of $1.728 million, and then add our $2.1 million in emergency reserve. That gave us a total bank account of $3.8 million. And please, you know, review the 10-page document. It has all of our revenue, all of our expenditures, and if you have any questions, feel free to email me.
Okay, is there any further discussion on the financial report? Hearing none, item number 10 is meeting and action item summary. Frank, what you got?
All right. This is the action items from this is to facilitate and contact subcommittee for getting new member requests, bring back the claim policy for the next board meeting. Meet with Sid to go over the claim policy prior to the next board meeting. Update the maintenance contractor to reflect claims requirements, possible amendment due, and meet with Sid regarding this and the claim process as it's related. I think that's all I have of them.
Okay, last call from management, legal, or the board members. Before we close this one out. Okay, item number 11, confirmed date, time, and location for the next board meeting. It's going to be April 4th, 2023 at 1:30 here at LCRA or via Microsoft Teams. Thank you all for your participation. Meeting is adjourned at 2:50 p.m.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See y'all.
Take care.
Thank you.